girls don't study engineering, right? Right, say many teenage girls. And that, according to the journal New Scientist, is one of the reasons there are so few women in engineering, computing, and the sciences. Other reasons include a lack of confidence by girls in their math and science abilities, and a feeling that science is remote from their everyday concerns. A fourth, highly controversial explanation is biological. Boys are predisposed towards science and girls towards the arts. This is Frankly Speaking, and I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. Whatever the reason behind it, the fact is that few girls do opt to study science. But now many women scientists are working to change that. Among them is George Mason University physics professor Joan Kowalski. With other area science teachers, she is organizing TWIST, an acronym for Training Women in Science and Technology. Dr. Kowalski is here to tell us more about why girls avoid science subjects and how TWIST might change that trend. Dr. Kowalski, tell us what the TWIST project actually is.
The TWIST project, the TWIST means Training Women in Science and Technology. And it's sponsored by the American Association of Physics Teachers to interest adolescent girls in the physical sciences so that perhaps if there's an interest there and a capability, these girls could take the proper courses in high school to be prepared to take the proper courses in college to go on for careers in science and technology.
So one of the things you feel you need to address is the fact that often teenage girls don't realize what they need to take in order to go into science as a career.
Right. And that those adolescent years are absolutely essential for beginning a career in the sciences.
What is it that you really hope to achieve through the project?
I guess it's exposure. Girls really don't know what a scientist, whether the scientist be a researcher, a teacher, does. And to expose them to that a hands-on experience in actually doing experimentation in a laboratory, and to meet people in the field and show them the varieties of opportunities there are for girls in the scientific world.
Now, you say that the girls aren't exposed to this kind of information, but you feel boys are?
Well, I believe adolescent boys are as much in doubt or ignorant of the life of a scientist, but the kinds of games they play, the kinds of things they do and get interested in seem to make them more interested in technical things. So perhaps they're no more ready than the girls, but they seem to be oriented a little bit better.
You don't think they have so much difficulty in thinking about science as a career as girls?
No, probably not. Again, conditioning. Our society seems to picture more men in science and technology than women. And consequently, it's a role model immediately, just looking at a picture of a scientist. If you take a look at career magazines in engineering or physics or chemistry, while you may see some women, you'll see many more men. Hmm. And young children in adolescent years are exposed to pamphlets on careers, and therefore they see the pictures.
That opens up an interesting line of questioning. That's obviously perhaps one reason why girls don't go into science. But what other reasons are there behind this?
The role model itself, teachers in schools. There are many more male physics and chemistry teachers than there are female. And boys identify with the role model. So do girls. They see a male teaching these courses more frequently than a female and think it's a man's world, mm-hmm. not a female's.
What do you consider are the science subjects that are particularly neglected by women? For instance, biology, there are quite a few women in that field, are there not?
That's right. Biology doesn't need as much mathematics as chemistry and physics do. And of course, engineering would be a very mathematical subject also. Consequently, there's more of an orientation toward biology if one is interested mm-hmm. in science.
Mm-hmm. So one of the problems is mathematics.
Absolutely.
Women don't like doing math, is that it?
Right. And if we could get young girls, as well as young boys, to gain a firm foundation in mathematics, then they're prepared for many careers in science and technology.
Do you think boys and girls show an equal interest in science until they become teenagers?
I haven't been with adolescent children in a classroom situation in a long time, but it's my belief that the at least in adolescent years, at this time, I think there's an equal interest, especially in the biological sciences, which is what you do with adolescents more often than you do the physical sciences. So I don't think there's any great difference at that particular point. I think around the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, you begin to see a change.
There is a theory, a biological theory, that postulates that boys are genetically predisposed to do better at science subjects. Do you agree with that?
While in my teaching career, I've had more boys than girls, I have found very many capable girls among the student body and very many capable boys. It is a theory.
Could you tell us a little about the theory?
The theory? Well, it's that somehow or other, boys genetically have a better spatial sense. Mm-hmm. Consequently, they can do mathematics and technical things like science, physics and chemistry better than girls. Now, that's been refuted. It's controversial. There was a study done in Johns Hopkins not too long ago, and the results of that study were well controlled, and it showed that even among the best science girls, the best mathematically inclined girls, and best mathematically inclined boys, boys are still superior to girls. So, of course, the weight of the biological theory seemed a little stronger as a result of that study. But again, it is a theory, and we'll pursue it, and we'll still continue to say girls can do it.
When you are conducting your own classes, do you notice any difference, just thinking back over the years you've been teaching, about the way boys and girls approach problems or the way they carry out their experiments?
Well, in the 60s and early 70s, I taught in high school. And I saw a difference there among some girls. There were some girls who feared the math and were hesitant about it, and the boys seemed more certain of it and more sure of themselves. I guess I saw the difference more in lab work, that the girl would step back and let the boy take over and set up the circuit or pour the chemicals or whatever. However, having been at George Mason, I don't see any difference at all. I see the girls walking right up to the equipment, taking the cables, connecting the parts of the circuit just as easily as the boys do.
And they will take the initiative if they're in a mixed group?
Absolutely, at least in my classes they do. And I hope that this is true in the high schools now, that this evolution of confidence in lab work and in math and in science is continuing.
Perhaps that's one good result of the feminist revolution.
That's right.
Tell us a little about how the TWIST project is formulated. What's going to happen?
Well, actually, the TWIST project was supposed to be run in three different sites around the United States, one in Chicago, one in New York, and one in George Mason. And we, because of a lack of funds in the education department, only George Mason was funded. The project itself will consist of seven workshops on Saturday mornings, and the participants will be 25 girls from the Northern Virginia area. We are hoping that half of that group will be from the minority population. In our selection of candidates, we will look for interested and capable girls from minority populations. Now, when I say capable, it doesn't mean that they have to be good scientists right now. If they're reasonably good in mathematics and can read well, that's a good foundation. So we're hoping that we'll draw from a large population, that there will be many who are interested in it.
And who will be teaching the workshops?
Many of the many. We have only four, but three of us, three women on our faculty, will be handling it. One from the education department, Dr. Judith Jacobs, will be helping us, and others from other universities in the area. There will be two different types of people leading these workshops. One will be actually doing the laboratory work with the girls, introducing them to it. The other will be a lecturer who will tell the girls something about her experiences as a scientist or engineer.
So it will involve actual science projects or
That's
experiments.
Right. That's right.
As mm-hmm. well as lectures about science. Will it reinforce what they're already learning in their high school classrooms, or will it be opening up new fields to them?
Yes, these will be eighth grade girls. So we're hoping that it will be reinforcing what they're probably hearing. They may not have the equipment in the schools to do the things that we're going to do with them. Probably they don't. But we are going to reinforce what they already have. We will not make it something that they cannot do because it's too hard for them. Certainly we'll be trying to give them something at their level of experience and capabilities.
Now the lecturers, will they be talking about themselves as women scientists or just talking about science in general?
I would hope they would do both. I think girls would identify more with the women themselves as scientists, but I think they will be asking questions about other interests that they have also. I would hope they would.
Speaking of women in science, what are the career possibilities open to both boys and girls going into science? One thinks of science teaching, one thinks of working in a laboratory as a research scientist, and that's probably as far as most people's imagination goes.
That's right. Well, I guess every industry needs its scientist and its engineer. So GM, the telephone company, the oil companies are all in need of scientists and technicians. The computer world, we're on the ground floor of the computer world. We need many people to research and to put them together, to improve upon them. So the technical world is expanding and growing, and there are many, as you basically gave the categories that, but within those categories themselves, there are so many different things that a girl can do. In government, there's a need for physicists to do research and experimentation in the government service.
How do interested girls get into this program?
Well, presently I am contacting the schools in the Northern Virginia area. I have contacted Arlington and Alexandria, and am in the process of contacting the Fairfax schools. I will be bringing to those schools information about the project, brochures, and these brochures contain a tear-off that they mail in indicating that they are interested. That's the first step. When they do that, I send them an application and an interest inventory. We're trying to find out whether or not these particular girls who would apply, most likely if they apply, they're interested. But the interest inventory will help them to see whether or not they are interested. So we would like to do both of those things, have an application and an interest inventory from girls who might be interested.
So anyone who would happen to be listening to this program and want to get direct information on it, could they call you?
Exactly.
And right. mm-hmm. what would that number be?
At George Mason, it's 323-2008.
Good. Well, any women who are out there listening and wanting to become scientists should call
323-2008.
Dr. Kowalski, thank you very much for being with us today. The TWIST program will begin at George Mason on September 24th and run through to November the 12th. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guest or this program, please call 323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.